seeking the lost, yes, kindly entreating, wanders on the mountain astray. Come unto me, his message repeating, words of the Master speaking today.
Going afar,
upon the mountain,
reaching the wanderer back again,
into the fold of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb
for sinners slain. Seeking the lost and pointing to Jesus, souls that are weak and hearts that are sore, leading them forth in ways of salvation, showing the path to life evermore.
Going afar upon the mountain,
bringing the wanderer back again,
into the fold of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain. Thus I would go on missions of mercy, following Christ from day unto day, cheering the faint and raising the fallen, pointing the lost to Jesus the way.
Going afar upon the mountain,
bringing the wanderer back again.
Into the fold of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain.
Thank you, gentlemen. Acts chapter 16. Did I get that right, Brother Scott? Close. Fellas supposed to follow suit there. Acts 16. Good job, fellas. Enjoyed the good song. Acts chapter 16. Find that place in your Bible. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, that's New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. Chapter 16. Give you a second to find it. When you find it here in a minute, we will stand, read two or three verses, and jump into the message for our hearts and minds this morning. All right. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word today. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. Please follow along. I'm in Acts 16. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, that she, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Jump down to verse number 25, where the Bible says, same chapter, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And I'm going to speak this morning on this subject, direct and indirect lighting. Direct and indirect lighting. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the good music this morning that has blessed our hearts. Many of the songs have been about redemption, and we're thankful for your grace and your mercy that doesn't give us what we deserve, but Lord, instead gives us what Christ did for us upon his death on the cross. Thank you for that. Help me as I preach now, Lord. I pray that your power would rest upon this service so that both speaker and listener may be helped by your touch. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bible open there to Acts 16. Now, you probably are aware and know the difference between direct and indirect lighting. In a nutshell, direct lighting is where the light fixture directs the light downward, kind of in a direct manner, like these lights that are in this soffit up here that are above where I'm standing right now. That would be pretty much direct lighting. They're coming right down here on the stage, on the platform. Indirect lighting is where the fixture takes the light and directs it upward, indirectly providing light. The light in these sconces would be considered indirect lighting. It's where the light is kind of thrown up like that. Sometimes you go into buildings where there's indirect lighting around the sides of the building, and it doesn't give light directed. It kind of throws it up, and because then as it throws it up, it lights up the facility. So direct and indirect lighting, two ways to provide light. Direct and indirect lighting, two ways to provide light. Now, we have been emphasizing the theme of consecration restoration this year, the year 2017, in our church. Just as a review, let me go over again what we mean by consecration restoration. The word consecrate or consecration means to fill the hand of God, to be at God's disposal, to fulfill His purpose for our life. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, our theme verse there, that book, Moses exhorted the men to consecrate themselves to the Lord, to fill the hand of God. God had a work to be done. God had a will to accomplish. And Moses encouraged those men and exhorted them, consecrate yourselves, fill the hand of God, fulfill His purpose in this matter. And folks, the truth of the matter is, we need a restoration of that type Christianity among God's people today. As Christians, we need to be restored to a place of consecrated living. Fill the hand of God, fulfilling His purpose for our life, doing His will. Because let me remind you, I'm not going to preach on this today, but let me just remind each one of us, we are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We're bought with a price, with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. So we're not our own. We're to consecrate ourselves, fill the hand of God, be at His disposal, fulfilling His will. And we have emphasized different elements of the Christian life that require consecration. They require us filling God's hand. In January, we emphasized prayer. In February, we emphasized Bible reading. In March, we emphasized the matter of preaching. And in the month of April, we have emphasized this matter of witnessing. Witnessing, being a witness, filling God's hand for the purpose of being a witness. Now, let me just say this morning, if you're saved, all of us who are saved are called to be witnesses. And we need to be consecrated to God in this area. Now, when you mention witnessing, I would guess that most people immediately think of two Christians going out into a neighborhood. They've got some gospel tracts, maybe they've got a small New Testament, and they methodically go to each door, door to door to door, with gospel tracts, knocking on the door, hopefully looking to get an opportunity to speak to someone about Christ. That's what most people think about when you think about being a witness. And by the way, that's a good and an effective way to witness. The truth of the matter is, sending people out two by two to witness for Christ is the method that Jesus Himself instituted. He called the disciples together, the 12, and He sent them out two by two. And then a few chapters later, He called 70 others, and He sent them out two by two. That's why, along with other avenues of witnessing, here at Faith Baptist, we have continued to follow the method of two by two, going out with the gospel. And one of the reasons we do that is because Jesus Himself started it. And if Jesus started it, it probably would be best for us not to stop it. So, that's the matter. But that's what most people think about. But church, what I'm talking about this morning is this. That is not the only method of witnessing. In our text today, I want to point out both ways of witnessing, what I'm calling direct and indirect lighting. Because when we witness, that's what we're actually doing. We're bearing light. You know, I didn't plan the song service, but the opening song that we sing this morning is sang this morning, Send the Light. And that's what it's talking about. The gospel light. The light of salvation. And so that's how we're supposed to witness. We're supposed to witness. When we witness, we send the light. We bear the light. And we can do that, watch me now, directly, like this light shines direct upon this pulpit this morning, direct lighting, or we can do it indirectly. We can diffuse it and send it up, and it still provides light. And I want to show you this in the text. Now, let me give you the setting here in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are on a missionary journey. They're in the city of Philippi, okay? That's in Macedonia. This is the first city that they visited in the country of Macedonia. Look with me again at verse number 14, because we don't have time to break down every verse. The Bible says, let's go back to verse number 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Paul's right there. Let me tell you what's happening here. Every time Paul went into a city to witness, the first thing he did was to go to the Jews. Paul went to the Jew first. He would ask, is there a synagogue in this town? If there was a synagogue, Paul would go there and speak to the Jewish people. Now, watch. If there wasn't a synagogue, there had to be a certain number of Jewish families in the city before they would build a synagogue building. All right? If there was not a synagogue, Paul would find out where the place of prayer was. The place of prayer is where the Jews would go if they didn't have a synagogue. They still met for prayer. The Bible says that Paul went to the place of prayer, which was down by the riverside. There was no synagogue in Philippi. But he went to where the Jewish people were. And the Bible tells us in verse number 14, verse 13, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia. Stop right there. Paul goes down to where the Jewish ladies are gathered, and he begins to speak to them. And the Bible says that in that gathering of women, there was a woman named Lydia. Lydia was from Thyatira. Lydia was not a Jew. Lydia was a Gentile. Now watch this. She had turned her back on the false gods of the Gentile, quote-unquote, religions, and was trying to find the truth. She was in search of the truth. And the Spirit of God was drawing her. So she went to the Jews to learn more about Jehovah God. Here she is, meeting with a bunch of Jewish women. And what does God do? God sends a Bible-preaching missionary to where she was. And Paul said, I spoke to her, and the Lord opened her heart, and Lydia got saved. Now, that's what you call direct lighting. That is face-to-face. Paul speaking to this group of women, and Lydia responds, and the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart, and Paul showed her some more things about the Word of God, showed her more things about Jesus Christ. By the way, listen, let me just say this morning. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here in the church service today, and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. You're not sure that you're saved, but there's a disrest, an unrest in your heart. And you know, you've been thinking to yourself, boy, I sure wish I knew what was ahead when I leave this life, because this life is not all there is, people. And you know what? Maybe you don't know where you're going when you leave this world. And you come to church this morning, and it's not an accident you're here. The Holy Spirit has been drawn. Because when a heart opens up to the light that it's received, God gives more light. And He gives more light. And here comes Paul with the direct light of God's Word to this group of Jewish people. And here's this Gentile, a part of this group. And this Gentile lady, Lydia, gets saved. But wait, not only does she get saved, her family gets saved. And then they all get baptized. And then they take Paul in and Silas and they minister to them. That's direct lighting. But I want you to notice here that a strange thing happens. Look at verse 16. You in your Bible there. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Let me cut to the chase here. Short story. This woman is possessed by a devil. She's reading palms. She's reading her horoscopes. She's possessed by a devil. And so look what happens. Verse 17. the same lady possessed by a devil, followed Paul and us, cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. Now, folks, look at this. Sit up here, Brother Bright, Brother Luke. So here's Paul and Silas, okay? Man, Paul and Silas are young looking, aren't they? Amen. So just kind of, let's come over here and you guys face that way and just kind of slowly walk across the platform. So here's what happened. These guys are preaching and say, "Hey, these men are servants of the Most High God. Hey, these men are servants of the Most High God. Hey, these..." Would that get old? She did that many days. Everywhere they went, she followed them around. "Hey, these men, servants of the Most High God. Hey, hey, hey." She's full of the devil. She's causing a distraction. And she did that many days. Look at verse number 17, verse number 18. "But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit." Paul didn't speak to the woman. He spoke to the Spirit. Do you see that, church? You see that? "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." Can I give you a little hint? I wouldn't practice that if I were you. It takes a pretty special person to cast a demon out of somebody. Other folks tried it. It didn't go so well. Okay? But Paul, look at what it says here, verse 18. "And he came out the same hour." So this devil spirit leaves her. 19. "And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone..." What does that mean, Brother Terry? Cha-ching, cha-ching. Cha-ching. The love of money is what? The root of all evil. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Uh-oh. Oh yeah, no more palm reading. No more astrology. No more raking in the dough. No more reading the lines and forecasting future. No, that's all done now because this devil's gone out of her. And boy, those people who made a buck off of her, they were upset. They caught, verse 19, "They caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, brought them to the magistrate. These men being Jews, they troubled, they teach customs." Verse 22. "And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes." Oh, they're just having a field day with this. "And commanded to beat them." Now watch verse 23. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," they took Paul and Silas and beat them. Not once. The Bible says they put many stripes on them. Look at that. Verse number 23. "They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." So they beat them with many stripes, and then they put them into the very center of the prison where the hardcore prisoners were kept. They put their feet in stocks, and they said to the jailer, "Man, you keep these men here. You keep them locked up. Don't you let them go. Don't you let them get out of your sight." Now let's pause on the story. How would Paul and Silas respond? They're preaching. They're serving God. They're not getting rich. They're not making a bunch of money. They're preaching. They're serving God. They're trying to do the best they can for the cause of Christ. Now they're beaten with many stripes. Now their feet are in stocks. Now they're thrown in the innermost prison. What would they do? Look at verse number 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." Now stop, folks. Don't just read over that and say, "Oh, that's nice." Live that. Are you going to sing praises and pray at midnight when your back's been beaten with many stripes? Well, let me answer the question. I'm not. I don't think I'm that good a Christian. But they sing praises. And they sing, and they pray, and they sing to God. I mean, they are bloodied. They got their feet in the stocks. They're in the inner prison, which I'm guessing is not very accommodating. But they prayed and they sang to whom? To God. Where's God? He's up there with the birds. What a morning for the birds to chirp. I can't believe it. He's up there with the birds. He's up there. So they are lifting their voices to God. And they are praying to God. And you know what the truth of the matter is, friend? We're not told, so I'm going out a little bit of a limb here. And I don't think they were in there, "Oh God, we look at God, please help us." I don't think they're praying like that. I think they're praying, "Oh God, please help the gospel. Please help the cause of Christ to go out. thank you that we're counted worthy to suffer for you. Folks, they're not going to moan to God and then sing praises. Okay? They're praying, they're singing praises to God. Now look at the last phrase of verse number 25 that we read just a moment ago. And the prisoners heard them. Were they talking to the prisoners? Were they singing to the prisoners? Who are they praying to? Who are they singing to? Who hears them? The prisoners. Interesting. Here they are, they're beaten, their backs are bloody, their feet are in stocks, and they're praising God, and they're praying to God. And the Bible says that the prisoners in that prison around them heard them. Now, we're not told any detail about how the prisoners responded to Paul and Silas singing and praying at midnight. But folks, if you were a prisoner and you were at midnight and you were sleeping, what would you say? Hush! Probably not that nice. Hey, tone it down. Go to sleep. Be quiet. You're off key. Huh? I preached at a church Monday and Tuesday night. This dear, I mean, he was a dear saint. Came in, 85 years of age, and frail, but he was there both nights of the revival meeting. 85 years of age. I'm sorry, I'm just good. I don't comprehend people in their 30s and 40s not ever coming to a revival service, and people 85 make it out. Anyway, but he comes in, and he said, well, he don't have anything better to do. You're right. There's nothing better to do than go to where the Word of God's preached. Same for you. But anyway, I digress. Amen. Here he comes. He's got a cane. I mean, the preacher said it takes him 20 minutes to get her from the parking lot. So he comes in. He said, are you the preacher? He had a deep voice. He said, are you the preacher? This was Tuesday night. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you know Steve Epley? Now, Steve Epley's been here. I said, sure, I know Brother Epley. He sings very loud, but he's off key. I said, really? Oh, he sings very loud, but he's off key. I said, okay, I'll tell him next time I see him. And so, listen, maybe that's what they were saying. Hey, tone it down, man. You're off key. I don't know what they were. Maybe they were just muttering under their breath things that I couldn't say from this pulpit. Or maybe they were, maybe they were thinking to themselves, I don't think I've ever heard anybody in this jailhouse before pray and sing praises to God. Boy, that's different. Now, you know what that is, folks? That's indirect lighting. They're not witnessing. Paul's not shouting the plan of salvation to them. He's praying to God. He is singing praises at midnight. He and Silas, but those that are around them heard it. They observed it. They took note of it. Now, you know what they were doing? They were witnesses. They were being indirect. They were giving indirect lighting through their spirit, through their attitude, through their behavior in a difficult spot. They were witnessing. This is not the same kind of witness that they had with Lydia. Lydia, what do you want to know about salvation? Let me tell you about Jesus. Salvation is not in religion. Salvation is not in baptism. Salvation is in Jesus Christ who died so that you could go to heaven. That's direct. That's direct lighting, direct witnessing. Here it's indirect. They're praising God. They're praising the singing to God. It's indirect witnessing, indirect lighting. Now, just a thought, folks, just a thought for us this morning before I move on. This trip to the Philippian jail did not catch God by surprise. God didn't wake up at 11:30. You know, Gabriel didn't come in and nudge God and say, God, can you wake up, please? And I'm not trying to be irreverent. He didn't wake up at 11:30 and Gabriel said, the Lord said, what's going on, Gabriel? Well, Paul and Silas are in jail in Philippi. Oh, my, how'd that happen? Did God? Come on. It didn't catch God by surprise. No. God allowed these men to be treated wrongly. God allowed them to end up in prison, all for the purpose of being a witness where nobody had been a witness before. Oh, I get it. People, being a witness is not always confined to an hour, hour and a half time where we are out in the neighborhood knocking on doors and giving gospel tracts. Being a witness is the result of constantly and continually being mindful that God is in control of our lives and we need to acknowledge Him in everything that happens, even that which is not good. And when we do that, people take notice. People notice. You know, God has some of you working in difficult environments. And He has allowed some of you to have tough circumstances to come into your life. But folks, it's not because God hates you, not because God dislikes you. God is going to use this as indirect lighting. You serve Him and you love Him and you pray and you keep a good spirit and you keep a good attitude and people notice. Maybe the boss or the supervisor treats you rather unfairly. Maybe he singles you out because he knows you're a Christian. And you respond with a good attitude, and you respond with a good spirit. You do your work. You pray over your lunch or your dinner. You smile. You may even whistle or sing. And people notice. Well, the boss treats him like trash. But look at how he's responding. Look at how he's acting. You know, everybody else that the boss treats ugly is ugly back, but not that guy. That's indirect lighting. What's going on with him? Hey, folks, look, I'm not just whistling Dixie this morning. There is a man sitting in this room this morning who came to this church some years ago and got saved. Some weeks afterwards, maybe a month or two, I forget, another man and a couple of kids, I think his wife, maybe just the kids, visited here on a Sunday morning. And I got their card, and I went to see them. It was down in Kankakee. I went up the second level of a house. I walked in, howdied for a little bit, and then I said to him, I said, what brought you to Faith Baptist Church? And he said the name of the man who had gotten saved in our church about 2 months earlier. I said, who? And he said the name again. He said, you know, he goes to your church. I said, yeah, I know, but what? Did he invite you? He said, no. But before he came to your church, he would have had a bad attitude, a bad spirit. I won't go into everything he said. He said, but since he's been to your church, something's happened. And he drives his forklift. He smiles. He sings. He whistles. He sings church songs. He says, something's happened. Now, this man did not go to work and directly buttonhole his co-workers when he's supposed to be working. That would be wrong. Because that's company time. But what he did in the process of working, he's just in love with the Lord. And he's rejoicing in God. And he's happy about being saved. And guess what? In that indirect lighting, he was giving it all this way, and God took it and sent it back down this to where somebody in his work noticed. It's called indirect lighting. And I'm looking around at people. I know that God is using you in that fashion now at work where you are. Maybe God is using you in that fashion amongst your family members. Maybe you're the only one that got saved out of a family that's lost. And you say, man, you know, they think I've lost my mind. Maybe you don't need to always buttonhole them. Maybe you just need to serve God and love God and rejoice in God and let that light, let them take notice of that light. Do you know that's how God told ladies whose husbands were not saved, whose husbands didn't go to church? In 1 Peter chapter 3, he told the lady to let your witness be that of your chaste and kind spirit. And let that be a witness. Now, wait a minute. I'm not trying to let us off the hook. We are responsible to directly give light. We're responsible to talk to people about the Lord Jesus. If one of you men could maybe show this lady where she can get some help with her child, just so I don't want to disturb. They can show you where to get some help with them, okay? I'm glad you're here and glad you brought your son or daughter. I can't see who it is back there, but thank you. He'll help you. Thank you, Matt. That's fine. We're all prepared to help with that, okay? Great. Look. I can't use names right now because I don't want to single people out. There are folks sitting here. There's a lady sitting here this morning whose husband is lost, who has visited with me about it. What do I do? She has witnessed to him. He knows what she believes. Okay. You know what you do now? You live it. And your chaste conversation. And that meek and quiet spirit. You don't nag him. You let God use the indirect light to prepare their heart. Now, so this is what happens. They are singing and they are praising God. Now look here with me at verse number 26. Let's keep moving through this. So the prisoners heard them. And verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Now do you folks, do you really think Paul and Silas knew there'd be an earthquake? No. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands was loosed. Stop. Did you see that? I mean, this thing is full of prisoners, and and all the handcuffs, all the chains are gone. Now, people, come on. What do you think is going to happen at a jail in the middle of the night with criminals imprisoned if all of a sudden all the doors are open and they're free? See you later. Last one out, turn out the lights. Right? They're getting out of Dodge. And that's what the jailer thought. Look at verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. You know why? Because since he was responsible for that jail, if a prisoner escaped, it was his life for theirs. So he said, you know what? My goose is cooked. These doors are open. Pulls out a sword. Gets ready to stab himself. Verse 28. Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Whoa, we're all here. Yeah, they're all there. Why are they there? I don't know. I still don't know. Maybe Paul said, don't you go anywhere. I don't know. But that's what the book says. They were all there. And this guy, he says, hey, don't kill yourself. Everybody's here. Now, then he asked, the jailer asked the most direct question about salvation that could ever be asked. Listen to it. Unless you have a Bible, you can look at it too. But if you don't have a Bible, just listen to this. The jailer brought Paul and Silas out. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now you know what that question means? Not only were the prisoners listening, but he was too. He was too. Now folks, listen to me. That is the question mankind has been trying to answer for millenniums. What must I do to be saved? Don't miss the question. What do I have to do? D-O. What work do I need to do? How good do I need to be? What do I need to do? Tell me. Whatever I must do, physically do, I want to know what I'm supposed to do in order to be saved. You look at Paul's direct answer to that direct question in verse number 32, verse number 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe? Well, believe is not some kind of physical action. Believe is inward. You got it. The truth of the matter is, you can't do some kind of physical work or physical act to earn salvation. Nobody can do that, folks, because salvation is the free gift of God. It's purchased by the Lord Jesus. Eternal life is God's gift. I don't. If Miles is my son, I don't take my son a baseball glove on his birthday and say, "Here you go, Miles. Here you go, buddy. When you get enough money saved up, you can pay me for it." That's not a gift. If I say to Miles, "Hey, buddy, I love you. It's your birthday. Here's your new baseball glove. And if you keep your room clean for the next 6 months, you can keep it." That's not a gift. He's working for it. He's earning it. But if I say, "Miles, I love you. You're my buddy. I'm glad God gave you to me as a son. Here's a baseball gift, a baseball glove. It's yours." That's a gift. And Jesus Christ purchased the gift of eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, He purchased it. He bought it. And now what you and I have to do is believe, not in Jesus. That's not what He said. He didn't say believe in Him. He said believe on Him. Oh, that's just a word. No, big word. I use this illustration, Easter Sunday? I'll use it again. I can believe in the construction of this chair, the manufacturer reputation is good. I can believe in the construction of this chair. I can sit here and say, I believe in this chair's capability of holding me up. But I don't believe on that chair until I take this 200 and some odd pounds and just sit like this. Now I am believing on this chair. You can believe in Jesus' death, believe in Jesus' burial, believe in Jesus' resurrection. You can believe all of that like the devils do and go to hell someday. You must believe on. It's not church, it's not good work, it's not baptism, it's not this, it's not that. It's believing on Jesus Christ. Christ died. Christ buried. Christ rose again. The gospel of God. That is it, friend. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Believe on Jesus and be saved. And He did. Verse number 32, "And they spake unto Him the word of the Lord and to all that were in His house. And He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his strength." Well, see, he got saved because he got baptized. He got saved before he got baptized. He got baptized because he got saved. He believed on Christ. He believed on Christ. You can be saved. Hear me. You can be saved, but you can't do anything to be saved. Because it's already done. Jesus paid it all. Thank God. You must believe on Jesus, trusting fully in Him to save you. And when you do that, you're saved. Now look, I got to quit. Paul and Silas's behavior in a time of difficulty was a witness to everybody in that jail. They were not there to witness to the prisoners or the jailer. But in the time of difficulty, they were praising God and worshiping God and praying to God this way, and God turned it this way, and prisoners and jailer heard them. That's called direct and indirect witnessing. Direct and indirect lighting. Being a witness sometimes is God using us directly to speak to people, to talk to them face to face. Like some people that are here this morning, somebody went to their house this week, sat down with the Bible, and directly spoke to them about how to be saved. And they trusted Christ as their Savior. They're here this morning. That's direct. But then other times, God uses us as an indirect witness. Keep a good spirit, folks. Keep a good attitude. I told my class upstairs just a moment ago, some of you folks that come from Iowa will know who I'm speaking about, but I won't use the name. We had a man in the church there that had a very successful business. It was a semi-truck repair shop. They repaired great big semi-tractors. And it was very successful. He got right with God at our church out there in Iowa. And when he got right with God, his life started changing. He was already saved, had been saved as a boy, but had gotten away from God, got his heart right with God. And at his work, his life started changing. He had his work was basically diagnosing the trouble. It was before the days of computers when you had to think it through. All right? So he's got this semi-tractor on a jack, on a lift. It's up in the air. The driver's door is open. The hood is open. He's working and looking at a manual in the back of the semi-tractor, you know, back there looking at some things. And he starts walking toward the front, and he forgets that driver's door is opened. And he's in kind of a hurry. Bang! Knocked him flat. And all the mechanics just waited. He sat up. It made him see stars. He sat up, he rubbed his head, he stood up and he said, "Ouch. That hurt." And everybody there went, you know what they were used to? They were used to, you fill in the blanks. I'm not going to think it. That's what they were used to. But his heart was changing. God was changing his life. He's trying to live for the Lord. And that man became a testimony, a witness. That morning, that afternoon, he was a witness. Now, God has you where you are. It's not a mistake. I don't like where I'm at. They did? You think they landed there? Paul said, "Look this side." I said, "Isn't this great?" No, they didn't like where they were. But God had them there for a reason, for a purpose. And it wasn't, at this particular time, it wasn't to witness this way. It was to witness this way. Indirectly. Pray. Get your heart right. Go to work. Go to your family. Put a smile on your face. Sing the praises of God. Ask God to help you be a light. An indirect light. Somebody will see it. Somebody. We'll see it. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be a witness. Help us to fill your hand. Help us to fulfill your purpose for our lives. Help us, God, to do your will in this area of witnessing, directly and indirectly, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Listen carefully. How many would say, "Pastor, either directly or indirectly, I need to be a better witness. And God spoke to my heart about it this morning. I want to be the right kind of witness, both directly and indirectly. I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. And I want to be a good witness. And I want God to use me." And my heart's kind of excited about it this morning. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? Amen, amen, amen. Take your hand down. Now, let me ask you this question. Thank you for responding. Everybody's heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Do you know for sure that you're saved? This man said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." You can be saved and know it. And if your heart has been desiring to know about life after death and what happens and how can I know for sure that I'm going to heaven, God brought you here this morning for a specific purpose so that you could find out how to be saved. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, "I am not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor, I'm not here to join the church. I'm not here to ask you to do that. All I want to do is pray for you. And I can do that if you just simply, quietly, slip your hand in the air. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you please slip your hand in the air? Let me pray for you this morning." Anybody from front to back, side to side? "I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And that concerns me." Anybody like that here this morning? You listen to the message, "What must I do to be saved?" Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to pray for you this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word today. I pray that you'll help us to be witnesses directly, indirectly, God. I pray that you'd use us, whatever circumstance or situation you have us in right now for the moment. Lord, it's there. We're there for a reason and a purpose, and it could be to be an indirect witness of your grace and your goodness and your glory. Help us to fulfill that purpose for our lives. Please, I thank you for the many hands that went up. And Father, if there's somebody here this morning that's not saved, I pray that you'll help them to come to Christ today. May today be the day of salvation. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're not sure that you're saved, a little conservative about raising your hand. When the music begins in just a minute, folks will be coming to pray. Many people raise their hands. I trust that they'll use the altar. You come with them. There's a couple of men standing down here. Just tell one of them, I'd like to know how to be saved. I'd like to know that. They can tell you. I show you from the Bible. Somebody to show you how to be saved. If you came to be baptized, now's the time to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you did raise your hand, God spoke to your heart. Let's not belabor it with many, many verses. Let's respond and come immediately and ask God to work in our hearts. Father, bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Stand with me. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. And you come this morning as the Spirit of God spoke to your heart. And don't be shy about it. Let me invite you to come. Directly or indirectly, I want to be a witness. I want to be a witness. Would you come this morning? Many, many hands were raised. And if you can't physically come to the altar, then that's fine. Make an altar out of your seat. But if you can come, I would encourage you to follow the Lord this morning. If you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you come today? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Would you come? While we wait, God, help me to be a witness, directly and indirectly. I want my speech, my life, my attitude, my spirit to be a witness. Take a few moments and let God know your heart this morning. If you're not saved, would you please come? We're not asking you to join the Baptist church. That's not what it's about. It's about knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven when you die. Soul salvation. Maybe you'd like to come. You're a little bit nervous about it. You could say to the person sitting next to you, would you go with me? They'll be happy to come with you this morning.